Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good morning, Jay. How are you? Before we get started, I had a slight problem this week. And I usually, whenever I speak, there's usually drama. Somewhere in my life, the Lord's taken me through some things. Well, this week, started last Sunday, I misplaced my Bible. And I had notes in it for this message, and I sort of fell apart. But it's a black Bible with a black cover, if anybody has seen it. It's my sword, and I felt Monday I sort of fell apart because I thought Tina put a lot of time into it to try to find for me at school, and that didn't. She got Nancy involved and Sandy involved. And anyway, the Three Musketeers could not come up with my Bible. So but the Lord took me through a process with that. Basically, I had to just go before Him and with a notebook and just listen to Him. And so it really changed, the message changed from originally what it was going to, which I think was a God thing, but I want my Bible back now. I learned that process, I walked through it, and now I'm ready for it to come home. So anyway, if anybody does have it, I was sitting right over here, but in front of the row in front of where Terry was in that place. I had parking, I left it there. I thought she got it, she thought I came back in and got it, and poof, it disappeared. So I have Terry's Bible, so it's not like I don't have the Word, but as I prepared for this, I always like to ask the Lord, what do you want out of this? What is the end place that we need to get from this message? And He gave me the word hope. He actually gave me the word new hope, which is the name of our church. And it seems like sometimes that we lose our vision. You know, daily, we're to go before the Lord and get hope from Him. It's new hope, and it's new hope that we can give to others. So my prayer today, for as I've been praying for everybody this week, is that at the end of this message that you'll hear God's message of hope for you. When we walk through life, life has a lot of turns. And from minor turns to major turns. And if you look at the word life, L-I-F-E, it could either stand for loving it forever or losing it forever, according to where you are and how you're handling what you're walking through. It could be as minor as you're at home and you've got supper ready for your husband and he comes home and says, oh, no, let's go out to eat. You know, there's a turn there. Or it could be something as major. When we were in Florida, our fourth child was born and I'd got a call from work and they, you know, they do that test on them and I think it's called a something T-level or something. And it has to do with the thyroid. Well, her readings were way off, and they were told at that time, that was, 30 years ago, close to 20, 30 years ago, that she could be a mongrel. You know, she had a gap here, her tongue was thick. And that was just a turn in life. That was devastating to me at that time. I mean, she's fine now. They got her on thyroid medication. Everything was fine. But at that time, the knowledge that I had, it was a turn in my life. And I thought, you know, Lord, what are you doing here? But you could probably look at your own life and look back and see where there's been turns that has happened in your life. Something that you had to walk through. There's choices that you had to make. And that's what we're going to discuss today. We're going to discuss and look at Mary. And look at her life and the turn that she had in her life and how she handled it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, this is your time. This is your place. You have a message for each one of us. Holy Spirit, we just give you the freedom this morning to work. I I just ask you to move through this place, Holy Spirit. There even be a manifestation of you right now, Father, whether it be tingling, there would be a sense of heat, there would be a soreness that somebody has that would be felt, that you would heal that place. Father, we just breathe in your Spirit. And we breathe out those things that might be fogging our mind up, Lord, the distractions. We breathe in hope and breathe out discouragement. Just bless this time, Father. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture comes out from Luke 1, 26 to 45. And if you have your Bible, turn there. If not, it'll be up on the screen. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be a great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in with her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she explained, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." To give you a little background on Mary during these times, probably Mary was in her teenage years. At that time, it wasn't unusual for teenagers between 12 and 14 to be given in marriage. So we know that she was young. We know that she came from a poor family. And that she had the normal training of a Jewish child at that time. They would be trained to cook, to garden. They were taught the Old Testament. So there was the religious part of her training was there also. The facts that we could see from what we read this morning is, one, we know that she was a virgin. She was betrothed to Joseph. She was chosen and favored. She was troubled and possibly had a little fear when the angel approached her. If you remember in Nancy's message last week, they had not heard from God for like 400 years. They knew of God, but they hadn't heard from God. And if you could picture, when I was picturing this, I had this funny thought I'm going to share. But Gabriel, I picture as this big archangel, that, you know, mighty angel type thing coming to her and approaching. And what I pictured was Tim, you know, Tim, our sound guy, big guy he is. Him coming up to the door, knocking. There he is in white tights and wings, saying, "You are mighty favored," you know. That would trouble you a little bit. Well, I think it wouldn't me. I, you know, you might let him in. But So there was some troubling to her. The task that she was given was to carry the Son of God, and it was going to be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. So here she is, she's hearing this, and you can imagine what's going through her mind. She says, okay, I'm a virgin, I'm going to have a baby, and Joseph isn't going to be involved. At that time, it was very, very serious matter to have a child out of wedlock. She would probably be ostracized by her family, her friends. Joseph probably would not even marry her. And no one else would probably even marry her. So if you look at this picture, on one hand, this angel was speaking to her, and she was going to be able to carry the Son of God. On the other hand, there was a lot of consequences that could happen from this. She was basically could give up everything to accomplish what's over here. Her whole life would change. But she had some choices. And some of her choices are the responses that she could have. Is one, she could have a lot of pride. Say, yeah, I'm going to be carrying the Son of God, you know. I'm mighty. It might have gone to her head. Her other choice could have been a shame-based choice. You know, I'm not worthy of this. I know about a month ago, there was a gentleman that gave me a word. And it had to do with what the Lord wanted me to do in the future. And the first thing I did is, I'm not worthy. I'm not able to do that, you know. This last year or so, I've just been in a place and, you know. And that is that shame-based. Or she could have been angry. Said, there's no way. You want me to mess up my life for you, God? But Mary didn't have any of those choices. I want to look at verse 38 at her response again. It says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. And I'm going to break this down into a formula. I tried to make up some slides, and it failed. You got it, Sarda? Okay, well, you do. Son of a gun. We have a little... Just forget that part over there. That's not part of the formula. But the formula the Lord gave me was A plus A plus A equals A. And the first A that I want to look at is that Mary accepted her situation. She didn't throw a fit about it. Yeah, she probably looked at the consequences. But when it came right down to it, she accepted the situation that she was given. She accepted the cards that she was given. The second A is acknowledged. She acknowledged in those verses who was in charge. Who was in control. She not only acknowledged God's position in this whole situation, but she acknowledged her position in this situation. She said, I am your servant, Lord. So she acknowledged who was in charge of this whole situation. She accepted her situation. She wasn't crying about it. And that's what I did when I heard about Janetta. I bawled like a baby. What are you doing, Lord? No, she accepted her situation. She acknowledged who was in charge of it, who was going to take care of it. And then the last A is action. Her action is she verbalized it. She spoke it. She told the angel, okay, have with me as you want. I think that's not, I'm paraphrasing it, but she said, then the, may it be to me as you have said. And if you look at a formula isn't a formula unless you have either a plus or minus or whatever. Okay? You can have all numbers on a page, but they're not tied in together unless you have the function of what you want to perform. You can't get to the other side of the equal sign unless you put that function there. And what the Lord showed me, the function here that Mary had, is that she had faith. She didn't question, like Zechariah did, like, show me, you know, can you show me a sign? She had faith, and the other one, she had humbleness. That together with accepted, acknowledged action gives you a result. But there's more to this equation. The Lord told me there need to be a parenthesis. What is the purpose of a parenthesis? I had to look it up. I said, okay, Lord, I understand. What is the purpose of parentheses? The purpose of parentheses, when I Googled it, was is that you perform these functions first. And I thought, okay. So in the midst of when we're going through issues, Lord has given us a different direction to go. It's tough. We have a tendency at times to just go haywire. And there's things outside that's going to wants our attention. There's advice that's given us and everything else. And I felt like the Lord is putting these parentheses saying, we need to do this first. We need to accept, acknowledge, and take action. But this isn't, the parentheses is so important in this whole equation because the Holy Spirit is involved in this. And what the Lord showed me is that we need to start learning to operate out of our heart and not of our mind. Not our mind. I'd like to look at Ephesians 3, 16 and 19. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Do you hear that? In your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, when we say receive Jesus Christ in our hearts, I mean, that sounds like a just a verbiage that Christians use type thing. But according to the Word of God, it's true. It's hard to understand. That's why logic doesn't make sense. If Mary would have used logic, she would have never been in the position that she was in to conceive. She operated out of her heart. She had enough training from the Old Testament that she knew of God. That faith and humbleness did not come from her head, it came from her heart. Let's read on. There's more I want to cover in this. He says, and I pray that you being... Okay, did I read that part? Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Look at verse 19. And to know that this love that comes from inside, surpasses knowledge, the brain. About a month ago, it was during the last song in worship, the Lord had given me a word for a couple young ladies. And the one lady, young lady that I had talked to was basically this message. I felt the Lord had said, you have a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge, but Lord wants you to start operating out of your heart. And out of that heart, I can't remember all that I said, but out of the heart comes boldness. She came back to me 2 weeks later and just blessed me. And she had told me about a situation that happened earlier where she had come up for prayer one time at the stage, and there was heat that she was feeling on her head. And at the time she looked up and just felt, well, it's the stage and lights and everything like that, that's where the heat was coming from. She told me that during worship that day, before I had talked to her, there was intense heat that was on her back. And it was so intense, she looked behind her to see what was going on. Well, she saw me and she knew that I wasn't that hot of a guy. So she figured, no, I don't know. She didn't say that. I just thought that, though. But anyway, later, she had tied those two together. And as she told me that, and when she had left, the Lord said to me, now she's thinking with her heart and not her head. See, she was getting it. If we think that on our head, we're going to put God in a box. We cannot put God in a box. Mary could not put God in a box. It was going to be on His grounds, how He wanted it done. It's got to come from our heart. Our heart, our brain is analytical, and our heart is where convictions come. Our brain is where logic is, but our heart is where compassion comes. God is calling us to have compassion for Him, to have compassion for His will. It's got to start in the heart. The last day that we have, don't put it up yet, okay. I saw you going for it. I just want to review a little bit. So right now we've got, you accept your situation, you acknowledge who's in charge, you take action on that. It's tied in with your faith and the humbleness that we have before God. It's wrapped up with the Holy Spirit. Did you have that with the heart? Was you able to get that up? Oh, man. I had one slide that I tied this together, and I had this formula with everything. And what the Lord showed me was, you know how the parentheses goes on? That was wrapped in a heart, and it was tied together. And on the slide, I found this little, I've never used this program before. I actually have never done slides. But art is not a gift of mine. But anyway, you can get on this, and I drew a heart in there. It was so neat. But anyway, picture that in your mind for this whole formula. So you tie all this together. And when we're obedient to what God has, when our spirit comes in line with God's spirit, something happens. And the last A that the Lord gave me for that equation was anointing. And if you look in the verse down at verse 20, oops, I'm sorry, I'm back in Ephesians. I've got to go back to Luke. Let's go back to Luke. It's actually verse 39, starting in 39. Okay, Mary has already made the decision. I believe at the time that she said, may it be to me as you have said, at that point she conceived. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The final A of this equation is when we accept, acknowledge, and act on what God's calling us to do in our situation, and our spirit unites with His spirit, there's an anointing that happens. There's anointing in our life that happens. I cannot tell you the word that I was given before as far as my destination of what the Lord was wanting to do with me. You know, and I said, oh, I'm not worthy of it. The Lord said, forget your past and look forward to your future. At that time, I said yes, things started to happen in my life. The next Sunday, I had two words for the ladies. There's things that's happened this week even that I was able to pray with a landlord that I had breakfast with. Things will happen. The anointing will come when our spirit ignites with God's spirit and His will, and we walk with Him, things happen. You're probably sitting there thinking, well, I'm not Mary. Mary was chosen. You know, that's getting back to the same, I'm not worthy. I can't do what Mary did. Well, let's look at Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's you, in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. You are chosen. You are just important in God's eyes as Mary was. He has created you for a purpose. And in that purpose, at times, we got to go this way, and then he's going to say, I need you to go this way. And what he's asking us is for obedience. The only difference that I see between Mary and us is that she learned to say yes. I don't mean to ruffle any feathers, but I feel at times, and I'm pointing at myself too, we have conditions and terms for our yes. Can you picture what Mary's response would have been? Well, Lord, not right now. You know, I'm going shopping with my friends next, you know, month, and I don't want to go out expecting. There's a dance coming up, and Joseph and I are going to in January. You know, can we just wait until, you know? Her yes was immediate. I believe at times, and I know I've had it in my life, I've had terms and conditions on my yes. Yes, Lord, I'll do this, but if whatever. God is with Mary, and God will be with you, no matter what you're going through. Every time that we have to walk through a situation, it builds those pluses as they come within. It builds the faith and the humbleness that we need. Whatever the Lord's trying to do in your life, it will build. You know, look at Mary's life, how it built faith in her. I was looking ahead and where Mary was at the wedding with Jesus. This was years, and they ran out of wine. And she accepted the fact, yeah, they're out of wine. She acknowledged Jesus could take care of it. She said to Jesus, you know, you need to take care of this. He says, no, this is not my time. She took action and she told the servants, do what he said. She had built the faith in her life to get to that point, knowing that he could change water into wine. God wants to do that in our lives. I heard Charity's testimony last week about that, their situation. She acknowledged there was a financial need, or accepted it. She acknowledged that God could take care of it. She went to him. She spoke it. And what happened? Money started falling from trees, I guess you could say, right? That's because if you weren't here, that the story was that she spoke the truth of the Lord. Hey, we're in financial, you know, blah. And all of a sudden, Dave started getting these calls for these trees to get cut down, and so that's why the little pun there, falling trees, money started falling from trees. But I know there's other situations in their lives, because I know them, that they've had to walk through that have built that faith to get to that point. There's situations that we have to go through because God loves us. He loves us. He wants us to walk through things at times that we have to build that strength, build that faith, because he does love you. God wants us to say yes to him.
He wants us to say yes to the Holy Spirit. He wants us to say yes to healing. He wants us to say yes to words of wisdom. He wants to say yes to loving each other, to serving each other. But all it starts is yes from inside here. If you're sitting here this morning, you might say, I have no idea what you're talking about. You've never had that relationship with Jesus Christ to be able to trust Him. And I hate to use the word formula because I don't believe we need to live by a formula. But this, God gave it to me, so I'm using this. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, this matches. The first day was accept. You need to accept the thought that you are a sinner. Scripture says, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You need to acknowledge that God is the answer. God sent Jesus to this earth to die for your sins so that your insurance policy would be paid up forever. And then you need to take action. And action is just to receive Him as that gift that He has for you. And when your spirit comes in line with God's spirit, watch out, things will happen. You'll have changes in your life. It was back in 1976, July of 1976, that I received Jesus Christ. That time I was involved in drugs. I was married, had children, wasn't real heavy, but it was, what, it doesn't matter. I did it. Lord took that out of me. He took away all my friends that were involved, that had influence on me, gave me new family, and I was a changed person. God is in the business to change people. He's in the business to use you as a vessel to help change people. But our response is from here. It's more of receiving Christ just saying, oh, I know it. It's got to come from here. It won't last. I've seen people that have gone through it verbally, done it, but not really meant it, and they've fallen. It's from here. Worship team, come, please. It's one thing that I want to close with. This was in my journal the other night. And instead of just trying to tell you, I decided I wanted to read it. This is what I wrote. God loves us so much. He wants to help us through those tough times. So in turn, we can help others. We are a vessel that the Holy Spirit wants to flow through to give us life and freedom. When we bow our knees to Jesus, there is no shame, there's no condemnation. There is freedom. We give Him the freedom to do what He wants. You can't be a servant if you don't know the Master. You can't serve the Master if you can't hear His words. Nothing is impossible with God. If He can use a virgin to conceive, He can go above, beyond the laws of nature to fulfill His purpose in our life. Also, God can overcome any obstacles, no matter how big or how difficult the situation. That's really the part of acknowledging that He's in control, He's in charge. I hope this morning that you can leave here with some hope. Hope that God loves you. Hope that He wants to use you. Hope that He will use you. Just say yes to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your message. I pray, Lord, that each one of us can just see what you have in it for us, for them. That we can work out of our heart, Lord, and not our mind to please you. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.